This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
And I'm Alex.
And today we will be discussing the somewhat controversial Star Wars film, Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Boo! Worst Star Wars ever! It was too different! Carrie Poppins! Luke milked a fish! My childhood is ruined!
Rey develops her newly discovered abilities with the guidance of Luke Skywalker, who is unsettled by the strength of her powers. Meanwhile, the Resistance prepares to do battle with the First Order.
So, in spite of the joke that I had, I was actually thinking about that when we did The Force Awakens. You did something similar. You're like, boo, it's just like A New Hope. And I was like, okay, let's go the opposite direction this time around. I actually liked the movie a lot.
Yeah. So, I am basing my review of this movie after only seeing this movie one time.
Okay.
Like, 2 weeks ago.
Right. So, I got tickets for it, and then, like, within 24 hours was offered tickets for the next day. So, I saw it, you know, opening day, and then just the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was exponentially better the second time.
Okay.
I liked it the first time, but I think it was kind of like, The thing I can maybe compare it to is like the Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises or like even like Inception. Like those are all Nolan movies. I just realized.
Yes, but
there are certain movies that sometimes when I see it, like I watch it and I'm like, I didn't hate it. I don't know if I liked it.
I remember when we watched The Prestige. Mm-hmm. I showed you The Prestige.
Yeah.
After it cut to black, you turned to me like, what the heck did I just watch?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then you told me, I went and bought the movie the very next day.
Yeah. and then when I watched it, like, it was, I think this was like that, because, like, all of those movies, they throw so much at you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like that. There's so much thrown at you that
you can't unpack it all in the first one show.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to take time and digest it, and after having watched it and then sitting through it the second time and being like, okay, like I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was able to really just kind of enjoy it. And I thought that, yeah, that second viewing really helped.
So I saw this with my wife and through my work. And I actually had two other offerings to go see this movie. Once from you.
Yeah.
And then once from my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, nope. Nope. I want to experience this with my wife for the first time.
Right.
So I waited.
Yeah.
I could have done without the stupid spoilers that I accidentally let some idiot posted on a completely unrelated Disney Buys Fox Facebook post.
People were awful with spoilers with this one.
Oh, they were like terrible.
I feel like it wasn't as bad with The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what in 2 years changed to where people felt like being
trolls?
Yeah, that sounds better than anything I was thinking. It's like, how much do we want to exercise the bleep button? I'm kidding. Yeah. But really, people were trolls in the worst fashion with this movie. It was terrible.
Yeah, I was sitting there just scrolling through some comments, and I was like, oh, I've got to be a little bit careful. Maybe there's...
Right.
And then...
But you'd think with a Disney buying Fox thing, it wouldn't come up. Why would it?
So then, I'm sitting there, and some idiot,
right,
posts in a big bright background, Force Ghost Luke,
right,
Snoke dies, Kylo Ren becomes the new Supreme Leader.
Right. Why? Why would
to you? About 17,000 or to about 17 replies to that right. post of, dude, you suck.
Right.
The movie hasn't even opened up yet.
Right.
It opens in 2 days.
Right. Yeah. There was one. The one that I came across was Luke dies.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, are you, like, I kind of guessed that.
So did I.
I mean, yeah, it was something I assumed, but, yeah, like, I didn't need to, that was the actual one rumor that after I saw it, like, twice, like, variations on it, I went and actually sought it out to see if it was true. Just because mm-hmm. I'm like, the way that people were putting it, it seemed so ambiguous, and I was like, I at least want to know for sure,
mm-hmm.
because the way people are putting it seems really disappointing, you know? And so I saw a little bit and was like, okay, it's true. At least I can, you know, go into it knowing this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, what I read, I skimmed through and saw, like, a couple of other things. So my impression was that, like, Leia and Rey were with him when it happened. So I was like, oh, okay, it played out differently than I thought it would, okay, which was okay. nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, still, some, you know, jackholes decided to spoil it because that's the climate we live in now.
Yep, yep.
Which, and I mean, it sucks. And then you have this is going into, like, different directions. But, you know, it's funny to have people be on there and be like, well, why are you on the internet? Why are you, if you don't want to see these things, it's like, you realize that, like, everything is connected now. Like,
mm-hmm.
people go on Facebook for work or any number of things, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, you could be on there for you know, doing your job, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, there's this big, you know, Luke Skywalker dies. Well, you weren't seeking that out. You weren't doing anything to try and find it. It's like,
come on.
Like, you, like, don't excuse people from being idiots. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
2 days before the movie comes out at that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways.
That rant over.
Yeah, that rant over. This is a very different feeling Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to me, it still felt like a Star
Wars
film.
It really did, yep.
Maybe it's because I'm a sucker for Jedis and
mm-hmm.
lightsabers. And
right.
Yeah, other stuff is cool, too.
Right.
But I always preferred Luke to Han.
Right, yeah. Well, I think too, like, this really flipped all of our expectations on its head. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were so many things that happened where I was like, whoa, like, I didn't see that coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get to it, but, like, I never saw Snoke biting it in the middle of this movie.
Yeah.
You know, never.
Uh-huh.
So, that was something that I was like, I mean, like, I literally, like, our audience was like, I mean, there were all kinds of things that just happened that you're like, oh, okay, that's crazy, you know?
And when that scene happened, my brother-in-law turned to me and was like, so did you clap like everybody else, brother? I'm like, no, because unfortunately I already knew he died.
Right, yeah. But a lot of the backlash has been about unresolved questions and all this stuff. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
the whole time I'm like, it's the second movie in a trilogy. Like, why are we expecting all the answers now? You know?
It's because we're in a instant gratification society.
Right, but
We want stuff now.
And it's just funny that people are forgetting, like, there's another movie after this one. Like, I can get that. Like, yeah, if questions aren't answered by the end of the next movie, you have a right to be upset about that. But mm-hmm. at this point, there's still two and a half hours of this to go.
Story to go, yeah.
You know?
Well, it is even funny. Like, as we walked out the door, my brother-in-law was like, is there going to be another one of these? I'm like, it's episode 8, dude. Of course there's going to be a second. Of course there's going to be an episode 9.
Right.
There has to be.
They announced it that way. Like, new trilogy.
Yeah. It was just kind of funny. And I was like, yeah, of course, dude. They're going to they have to finish out this story arc.
There's another one in May.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They just announced something a few weeks ago about, like, we've got Star Wars planned out for the next 10 years, you know,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
what, or at least an outline, you know. It's that's funny. I thought it was cool that Benicio del Toro was in this movie, because apparently he was originally cast as Darth Maul.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'd heard.
Interesting.
Or read. I guess he had initially signed on for that, but then, like, eventually he just dropped when
Ray Park.
No, not when Ray Park came in. Apparently Maul had more lines.
Ah.
And then he was cut to being in, like, 5 minutes of the film. And at that point, he was like, never mind.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was cool that he came back
That's cool.
He finally got into here, rather, is what I was trying to get to.
That's cool.
How would you fit this one in?
Just the saga films, so excluding Rogue One.
Okay.
After my first viewing, it would go like this. Number one, Empire Strikes Back. Number two, Return of the Jedi. Number three, Force Awakens. Number four, The Last Jedi.
Okay.
New Hope. Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones, and Phantom Menace.
Right. I put it with Empire first, Force Awakens second, Jedi, Return of the Jedi third. And then I think I can't decide between this one or A New Hope. I just have them tied. There was a lot that I liked about Last Jedi. I think it just, like you said, it feels like a Star Wars movie, but then it feels so different too.
Yeah.
There was a lot I liked about it, but I think, and I'm going to reserve the right to change that, like, after 9 comes out, because there could be a lot of things that go, oh, okay, this really makes what happened in Last Jedi make sense, and that elevates it all.
Yeah.
And then I'm including Rogue One in this. I put that, you know, 6th. I think just because it feels the least like a Star Wars movie to me, but it's still a really good movie.
Okay.
And then you have Sith, Attack of the Clones, and Phantom Menace, because those still feel like Star Wars movies, but they're not as good of movies.
Gotcha. So, now we can go talk about this off the air about why you think Rogue One is just because there's like
there's talk about the Force, but like I think Star Wars and Jedi and Sith are so intertwined,
yeah,
that having other than Vader really, and like you have Chirrut, who is that? That's his name, right?
That's his name, yeah.
Believes in the Force. I mean, I feel like even though they say he doesn't use the Force, I feel like he's attuned to it, at least to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So, but you never see him using it or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's like that discussion of the Force and the discussion of the Jedi, but they're so far removed from it at the same time.
That it didn't feel like a Star Wars movie.
I mean, it feels like a Star Wars movie, but it feels kind of in a lot of ways just like a space war movie.
Gotcha.
With Star Wars sprinkled in there.
Gotcha.
Obviously you've got, like, the Death Star and whatnot, those iconic Star Wars elements, but it feels just the least Star Wars-y.
Gotcha.
I don't know how to describe it other than that.
No, that makes sense to me.
And even though the prequels have those elements in there, they're just not as good of movies.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And that's why I ranked them last, obviously. Gotcha. So.
Pros for me. Porgs and Crystal Foxes for the win.
The Porgs I thought were funny, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like they were, like, shoved down our throats or anything.
No, they
like
weren't.
They were just there.
They were there. It's like a Tauntaun or a Wampa.
Right.
Or everyone's like, they're going to be like the Ewoks. It's like,
right,
they're basically Star Wars versions of puffins because they had so many puffins on Skelly
McDonald's. I can't talk. I read that basically it was easier to, like, digitally paint over them in scenes where they were on the island rather than just completely remove them.
Wow.
And so they incorporated them that way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And the Crystal Foxes were kind of cool,
They were kind of cool, too. But it's kind of funny. People are like, oh, they're just going to shove the Porgs down our throats. I'm like, no, Jar Jar was shoved down our throats. That was definitely forced everywhere, in marketing, everywhere. The Porgs were, like, just background items other than, you know, a couple of scenes. But even then, they didn't overtake it or anything.
Nope,
so.
Most of the jokes landed for me. I thought the casting was good. Most of the planets are actually named in this movie instead of just some random planet. And I actually made a list of, okay, prequel planets that we know, that someone mentions in dialogue, whatever. Naboo, Tatooine, Coruscant, Geonosis, Kamino. Right. Do they mention Utapau?
They do, yes.
In like a briefing
it's
or whatever?
It's like, you just get it mentioned that somebody's on Utapau. I think they mentioned that with
Grievous is on Utapau.
Yeah.
Kashyyyk and Mustafar.
Mm-hmm.
Original planets, Tatooine, the Hoth system.
Right, yeah.
Dagobah, Cloud City, but then I realized, no, he actually mentions, Han mentions Bespin, but I always just call it the Cloud City planet for the longest time. And the forest moon of Endor, the sequel planets, Jakku, Starkiller Base, Maz Kanata planet, Resistance planet, although I also, in hindsight, it is the Ilenium system.
Right, yeah.
So, scratch that. Luke's planet.
Right.
Canto Bright Bite, whatever.
Yeah. Is Canto Bite, though, the planet, or is it the city?
It might be the city.
I never had any clarification.
No idea. And Crait. Basically, what I'm getting at is they you don't know that Luke's planet is called Octu.
Right, yeah.
Unless they never mentioned the name of it. Unless you've, like, read a book or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, or you don't know that Max von Sydow, the old...
Max von Sydow, yeah.
Yeah. You don't know that his character's name is Lor San Tekka, unless you're a complete geek like us who listens to podcasts or read books, and which is one thing that my wife is really frustrated with about the new trilogy. She's like, who's this old man?
Right.
Oh, how do you know that character's name? Oh, I listened to some podcasts. Well, that's kind of dumb. They want me to... You have to read this book to know, know this?
That was kind of one of the things in Rogue One that I... Like, it was a change where they brought up the names and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it because I'm like, oh, okay, I know where we're at now.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I didn't love it upon first viewing. Because, like, this is like some generic Star Wars, like, the planet of whatever.
right.
And I was like, but then, you know, upon further viewings of it, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's, I can kind of dig this.
Right.
Anyways, so I just thought that was interesting.
But even, like, the Clone Wars they go into, they really do a good job of, like, this is what planet we're on, or discussing, you know, it's brought up in dialogue or whatever.
And these are, I'm putting under the pros, but I have a list of favorite moments from The Last Jedi. Rey learning about the Force from Luke. I liked that bit a lot, and like, you feel that? Yeah! That's the Force. Smack!
That was pretty good. I liked that a lot.
That was hilarious.
oh, you meant reach out in here.
yeah. Rey's trial in the sea cave.
That was cool.
I loved that, I loved that scene.
It was cool because it was, it was so different from Luke's in the cave, you know?
Yeah.
It's good that they did something totally different because they're two completely different characters with different motivations and everything.
And it didn't feel like it was, I guess maybe it was supposed to be seething with the dark side, that cave, but I was like, I didn't really feel that, but I guess maybe the being trapped in limbo or whatever was maybe their version of, no, this is an evil place, you need to find a way to break out of this loop that you're in.
Right. But yeah, it was a cool sequence.
It was a cool sequence.
Yeah.
Rey and Kylo Ren fight Snoke's guards. That was awesome.
The second time I watched it hit me too when the one guard falls in that energy thing and it just like shoots bits of him up. I was like, oh man, that's pretty intense. Well, and then the way that Kylo kills that last one by like turning the lightsaber on through his eye. I was like, oh my gosh. that was brutal. It was great though.
Yeah, like I loved that scene. I don't know if it was just the whole the temporary alliance team up or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I just killed my mentor.
Right.
Get your saber. We're about to have a fight.
Right. Yeah. I think we're gonna go
back
down.
To back. Let's. Yeah. You know.
That was. So somebody mentioned that aside from the flashback with Ben and Luke's lightsabers, like two lightsabers never touch in this movie.
I think that's true.
Yeah. They just like. Ben and Rey, their lightsabers never touch. Luke never connects a lightsaber with Kylo for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
In the final battle. It was interesting that we had such a cool lightsaber battle without two lightsabers actually ever touching.
Clashing, and they were just mostly going against vibro blades with, lasers or whatever on
them. And that was, I think, a cool way of... I do like that they've been able to incorporate non-lightsaber users into the lightsaber battles between the traitor, stormtrooper, and Finn, and then this battle.
Yeah, I also like that there are people who can, they don't have the Force.
Right.
But they can, there are weapons that can withstand that can block a lightsaber.
Right. And it's kind of cool to see, for whatever reason, they decided that this technology is needed. you know, from the days of the Jedi, if there's going to be people who use these weapons, we need to be able to fight against them, even if we don't have a lightsaber, you know? So it's cool to see other materials that can, you know, fight against lightsabers, so.
Yeah. Luke talking with Yoda.
Yeah, I love that Yoda came back.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
I need to get... I'm all for, like, puppetry and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it did semi take me out of it slightly. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, no, it's an actual puppet. Just
right.
I know it's 2017.
Right.
Listen to what he's talking about. Don't be And I liked that he was like, you know, when I said pass on what you've learned, I didn't mean just all your successes. I meant like you've learned from your failure.
Right, yeah, failure is the greatest teacher or something. Yeah, like that. Yeah. One thing that I really liked about that, too, was that Yoda is still, like, a trickster. Like, yeah. He pulled one completely over on Luke when he burned down the tree. Because I didn't catch that there was nothing in it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It wasn't until I was reading some things about it that I... Because I saw the books that Rey took on the Falcon. But I never clicked that those were the Jedi texts.
Uh-huh.
And so, when I was reading about it later, that, like, no, Yoda knew that the books were gone, and the lesson was to teach Luke to let go and move on past things.
Mm-hmm.
So
stop living in the past.
Right. Basically. So he does it by burning the tree down, but he doesn't mean like, because a lot of people were like, oh, there we go. The Mary Sue already knows everything she needs to know. It's all inside of her. You know, it's like, no, Yoda means it literally. She has what she needs to learn. She has the books.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I thought, I'm like, okay, Yoda is still just like, you know, he knows stuff that Luke doesn't. And, you know, it was cool that he used that as a teaching moment.
Yeah,
for his
yeah.
old student, so.
Yeah. I need to get this soundtrack.
Yeah. The music's phenomenal.
I own every other one.
Uh-huh.
I loved that Williams went back and, like, I'm like, there's the Yoda theme.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Luke and Leia theme mm-hmm. from Return of the Jedi. I'm like, yes!
Well, and then there's the sequence in, when you know, we'll get to it, the where Leia's in space,
mm-hmm.
and she starts using the Force,
uh-huh.
but they use Leia's theme.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, that's, like, I think I caught it the second time, and I was like, okay, that's, like, just a beautiful use of that theme.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Luke showing up at the end, and I actually enjoyed his death.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he's sitting there, he's super tired, he's just astro projected his
right
self to not only Kylo, but the whole entire Resistance.
Right.
I thought when he walked through the door, I'm like, okay, he had his little pep talk with Yoda, he's cleaned himself up, he's mm-hmm. given himself a shave, he's,
right.
you know, like, all this stuff. I was a little bit weirded out when he pulled out the blue saber and, like,
oh, I thought the same thing.
I'm like what?
Yeah. What?
Like, I just saw that lightsaber get cut, blown in half by, like, a Force pole or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, there were some... So, that was a hint, and then I noticed on the second time I watched it... He doesn't leave footprints when he's mm-hmm. on the sand. And the second time I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's brilliant that they did that, because... What a way to kind of give you a clue, you know, but you see it more when you already kind of know what to look for. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, I thought that was a genius move.
Yeah. And I also, like, I know, I mean, I knew going into this movie, I'm like, I am 99% sure that Mark Hamill, that Luke is going to die.
Right.
In this movie.
Right.
I am almost positive. It's called The Last Jedi.
Right.
I'm almost positive he's going to die and become a Force ghost. So when he's sitting there on his little meditation rock, mm-hmm. and he sees the twin sons, and they right. play Luke / Force theme for
right.
the triumphant thing, and I'm like, this is the end of the chapter yeah. for him.
Yeah. I have no doubt he's going to be back.
Oh, he'll be back.
You know, I mean, that's what's great about Force Ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
He'll be back, but, like, I just, when they did, they had his music theme
mm-hmm.
with the twin sons.
Right.
Just, like, you know, echoing A New Hope yeah. all over again, and I was like... Okay, and fade away, cloak blows away.
Right.
I liked that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was interesting because there were things that we'd heard, like, oh, Luke is going to be so powerful, like, we're not going to be able to believe what he does. And people were kind of assuming, like, the Force Awakens level, where it's, like, pulling Star Destroyers out of the sky or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is pretty rad to see that, like, yeah, he's so powerful that he can... project himself across the galaxy. Granted, it kills him.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of power.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and I think what's cool about that too is, you know, he makes, it's again, a Jedi making a selfless sacrifice
mm-hmm.
in that way. You know, like Obi-Wan just allowing himself, like he could have fought on and died just because Vader's more powerful. But in the end, I mean, he puts his weapon up, but he's not attacking
yeah.
when Vader cuts him down.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of, I think, an echo of that, too.
Yeah. So. Another thing I liked, my boss is, he's more of a Trekkie
mm-hmm.
than a, at my work, he's more of a Trekkie
right.
than a Star Wars fan. He's like, I don't like Star Wars very much, but he's like, that was pretty sweet when they had that when they basically lit up Luke, and then he basically just is like a boss, like just dusts his,
I know,
dusts his cloak or whatever.
Right.
Like when they're firing at him, right. I was like, oh my goodness, what is he gonna do?
Right.
Like, I'm like, he's not. I'm like, he's Luke Skywalker.
Right.
He's not gonna like. I mean, I guess it would humanize him if he just like, you know, got shot up by like 10 million laser blasts and just fell over, slumped over dead.
Right.
But the fact that they like,
yeah,
full on fight, and then he just walks out of it being like,
right,
come here.
Right, bring it. Yeah.
Bring
I
it.
Also like the end bit, like where Kylo realizes that he's not there, and his last words are, "See you around, kid." And that was one of the things too that I've read from there, like Luke's. In many ways, could haunt Kylo that way. Like, you know, maybe Kylo doesn't know he's dead, but it could very well be that we see Force Ghost Luke talk to Kylo, you know, which would kind of be cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome. Holdo sacrificing herself and hyperspace jumping the capital ship through the First Order fleet.
That was amazing. Like, so I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of her leadership style, but
I wasn't either.
That moment was. Just, I mean, I think in both times I watched it, like, there was just dead silence. Like, everybody was just in awe of, like, that was amazing. Well, I'm like, I don't remember, but I don't think there's any music during that. If there is, it's very low key.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that shot of the ship splitting.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It was a really, really well done move. I thought that was fantastic.
Poe learning from his mistakes and starting to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Finn's fight with Phasma.
Yeah, that was cool, too.
That was cool.
I kind of like, too, at the very end where he, like, fully adopts, like, no, I'm with the Resistance now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just through when she says he's scum, he's, like, rebel scum, you know? Like, just fully embracing, like, no, this is where I am now. I thought that was a cool moment for him.
That was cool. I also liked Finn's potential sacrifice for the Resistance at the end.
Yeah,
I liked that. I was like... It's like, oh man, is he gonna bite it?
Right. Well, and it's cool because, like, this is a guy that, in both movies we've seen, he's trying to run away.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's kind of like, no, like, this is a cause worth fighting dying for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good character development for him.
Yeah. Kylo killing Snoke and his full turn to the dark side.
Well, that was a thing that, like, it flipped it on its head, too. Like, I thought, oh, maybe Kylo is gonna go with Rey. Maybe this is gonna go in a completely different direction. And... just to see him, and I liked it too when he's like, rule the galaxy with me, and she's like, no, please don't go down this. Don't do it this way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see that, like, he really does, he full-on embraces the dark side and does what he does for completely selfish reasons.
Like, I was debating, like, if they were gonna, like, because I heard, like, a rumor or, you know, a theory that people are like, what if Rey and Kylo team up?
Mm-hmm.
Abandon Luke, abandon Snoke,
right.
And just like, we're going off on our own.
Right.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
You know.
Raylo.
Well, not...
No, I'm kidding. It was interesting how they flirted with that.
Yes.
I don't think that they ever were going to go down that road, but it was interesting how they flirted with the audience that way.
Yeah.
Of like, maybe these two do have something, just to flip it on its head again and be like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah. Which I'm glad, because people were like, oh, you know, like the whole trying to ship them and everything.
Oh,
like,
geez,
I just don't
see
that.
I don't
see
it either.
I could see them connecting on the level of, you know, he's feeling let down by his master, she's feeling let down by hers, you know, and coming together, even though they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, coming together that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like the whole, like,
not
romantic
a Roman,
relationship.
No,
I'm like, no.
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 Yeah, again, there's another person offering rule the galaxy with me. And once again, they get turned down.
Right. Yeah. That's funny. I did like just how this film picked up right after the last one. I mean, there's a little bit of time in there, I think, like with the Resistance and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was something really different that was really cool, I thought.
If I had to guess, I would say this film takes place maybe a week after Force Awakens.
Right. Well, and I think that there's some time differential between what's going on with Rey and what's going on with
the
Resistance.
That's true.
People treat it like those things are happening
at the same time
concurrently, yeah, but I don't necessarily think so.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the opening sequence, and how, like, what happens with, the bombers, and, like, that's
bombs can't drop in zero gravity!
Wow. Like, we're willing to accept a lot with these movies in terms of of physics. Like, come on. Yeah. Let it go. It was funny, too. I agree. Like, you shouldn't have to read books or other materials to understand certain things. Like, mm-hmm. So apparently they're, like, magnetized. So they pull themselves to the ship.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, it's like, I mean,
you could have thrown a little teeny thrusters on them or something.
Right. But no, but like people are like, that doesn't happen in space. I'm like, we don't hear sound in space either. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the effects in that sequence, though, pretty much affect the rest of the film as far as things with the resistance go.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever really seen anything like that before either. So,
like the attack on the dreadnought.
Well, how it affects basically everything that happens with...
After that, yeah. It's not just a standalone. It keeps pushing the story forward.
Right. I mean, like, we have that opening sequence in Revenge of the Sith, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a cool sequence. I think that space battle is awesome.
The whole entire purpose of that is so Anakin can...
Right.
...murder Dooku.
Right. So, I mean, it has some effect on the rest of the film, but it's not as impactful as, like, here.
Yeah.
I thought the Leia scene was weird the first time I watched it.
So did I.
But I liked it a lot more the second time.
Okay, so maybe I need to see it a second time.
It looked weird to me the first time.
Gotcha.
I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but it looked weird. The second time, it didn't look as weird to me. Some people were treating it like she woke up like half an hour later. I'm like, no, if that's the case, that ship is gone. She doesn't have to... anything to pull herself to. They're all out of there. It's like seconds later, you know? Or that, like, you know, it's not possible. Okay, again, we accept a lot of things in this
series. We accept space magic, for crying out loud. Right.
There is some real-world precedent for it. So a person could survive in space without a suit for about 15 seconds before passing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're just going to start bloating up, like in The Simpsons. But I would imagine that based on the fact that she's the daughter of a Skywalker... she has some force protection there.
Yeah.
I mean, the ship is still close by, so it's not like a lot of time has passed. So
yeah.
Even for the force, the physics of it aren't that far out of the realm of possibility. I think it's like she gets knocked out, sucked out of the ship, we cut to a different scene, and then when we come back, it's like seconds after that.
Yeah.
It's passed. So.
For me, this was... a semi-ish con. It looked really kind of hokey to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said, maybe I need to see it again. But I think, you know, yeah, the whole force self-preservation bit. I'm like, yeah, you got to show that Leia has force abilities.
Right. I mean, if we're willing to accept that Anakin can get his skin burned out and his lungs burned internally.
Yeah.
And survive, I think we can buy this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it was like the pose or whatever.
Yeah,
but like,
I mean, I think some of it just being that it was in space kind of looked a little weird. But yeah.
But like, cause when I saw the bridge explosion, I was like, oh man.
I just die?
I'm like, okay, so, okay, is this the end?
Right.
But I was like, but I swear in the trailer she's in like another scene.
Right.
So then they do the floating back to the ship and I was like, okay, no, she survives.
Right. The other thing I thought was funny with that was, like you mentioned, like, Luke's changed in 30 years, right? People are like, oh, so now Leia can use the Force? I'm like, 30 years have passed! Come on!
She also has been able to sense him,
right?
Like, what, twice in the original?
Right,
Bespin.
Yeah.
And also...
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
But it's like, I mean, this is headcanon, purely. But I would imagine that... when Luke starts trying to teach people, he starts
with
by working
sister.
With Leia. You know, like, that just makes the most logical sense.
Again, referencing a book that, you know, I guess in the book Bloodlines, he actually does, they mention that he actually does start training her.
Okay.
You know.
Like, yeah, and I mean, I can see, like, her path being like, oh, I'll never be a Jedi. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's learn some things about this power that apparently I have, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of funny to see people be like, oh, now she can use the Force. Like, it's been 30 years. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Some stuff has happened.
Yeah. Anyways, continue.
I really like seeing where Luke was in his state of mind. I think, like, why he disappeared, like, the reasons are valid. You know, he said in the movie, like, he had that split second where he thought he should kill Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And then realized, like, no, this isn't the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, that's when Ben woke up and everything went to pot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can get to, like, he had that sense of shame, and that's part of why he is disillusioned with life, with the Jedi, with all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that, validated why he disappeared. I liked that he brought up basically why he thinks the Jedi should end and the mistakes that the Jedi made in the past. I like that we got, when he talks about that, we got callbacks to the prequel trilogy. I like that he doesn't refer to Palpatine by his given name. I like that he refers to him by his Sith name. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool.
That was cool, yeah.
Little ways just to tie things together. And because, I mean, like we've said before in our discussions, like, I think the prequels have a lot of good story ideas, and on paper, they're fantastic. It's the execution.
Execution that was not very good.
Right. So yeah. Getting callbacks, though, to those things, like, particularly, like, Palpatine's Sith name by calling him Darth Sidious, I thought was pretty cool. I really did like Luke's statement, too, that, like, if the Jedi go extinct, it's vanity to assume that the light side dies with them. I thought that was cool because in the context we've seen, the Sith are gone, but the dark side didn't die. So why would... I think it's interesting that he points out, like, people have seen this with the dark side. Why would they assume that if the Jedi are gone, the light side is gone, too?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. And then, overall, like, I really liked everything we saw in Ahch-To with Luke and Rey. Like, that could have been 2.5 hours, and I think I would have been entertained by all of that. So, we realize that this is running long, so we are going to cut this right here, and then we're going to come back with a second part of The Last Jedi review, and then we'll kind of just go from there.
Yep. Okay, see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.